Magnified with Matt Cooper. Proudly sponsored by Close Brothers Motor Finance. Recognised on Trustpilot as best in class in Ireland. With fast, fair finance decisions. Made in minutes, sometimes seconds. Motor dealerships and brokers. Looking to become a partner? Get in touch at closemotorfinance.ie.
Go loud. Sounds better with us.
On today's episode of Magnified is a woman who's winning all sorts of awards for social entrepreneurship. As you'll discover over the course of the next 45 minutes or so, they are so well merited because of the work that she has done in such a short period. We're going to be talking to Therese Coveney from Together Academy, which does extraordinary work for young adults with Down syndrome. And this series of Magnified is brought to you by Close Brothers Motor Finance, recognised on Trustpilot as best in class in Ireland with fast, fair finance decisions made in minutes, sometimes seconds. Motor dealerships and brokers looking to become a partner, reach out to the team at closemotorfinance.ie. So I hope now you're going to enjoy this episode of Magnified. This is Therese Coveney. Therese Coveney, thank you very much for joining us. To start, before we get to the Together Academy, which is a brilliant example of social entrepreneurship, can you tell me a little bit, please, about April? Who's the reason why you did this?
Straight in. Well, April is our daughter, who is 13. April has Down syndrome. And she follows two typically developing brothers, one who is 16 and one who's 15. And I suppose she came into a family who were trucking along like most families with two little toddlers. And then, you know, what joy after having two little boys to have a little girl come. But when she arrived, the minute I saw her, I could see that there was something a little bit different about her. And she was born with Down syndrome. It was totally unexpected and it came as a huge shock. And I suppose it's one of those life-changing moments where you kind of go, well, what does the future bring? It feels very, very scary. You know, you haven't considered this before. And it's a very tough few days when you're meant to be having your kind of most joyful moments of your life to have a baby who you just don't know what the future holds for and you don't know how they're going to be and you don't know how their health is going to be and you don't know how you are as a couple going to cope and you don't know how the siblings are going to cope and family. And inevitably, although we turned it into a positive in time, for a lot of women, their careers struggle. You know, so there's so many moments kind of change when a child with a disability arrives, particularly for us, as it was unexpected, I think at the time, you know, it was totally unexpected. However, I suppose I often say that, like, the journey we went on with April of the fear and the worry and the shock changed very, very quickly, because when she was 4 days old, she was in Holles Street and she became very, very unwell. It turned out she had what's called a duodenal atresia, which was she had a blockage between her tummy and her bowel, and about 6% of children with Down syndrome are born with that. So she went from being a baby, a beautiful little girl with Down syndrome, to an extremely unwell child who was kind of rushed to Temple Street for emergency surgery. And I suppose there was a few hours where we just didn't know if we were going to, we thought we might lose her. And she spent the first 2 months in Temple Street afterwards. She was very, very weak after it. But it really, really transformed our acceptance of April, because we went from having a child with Down syndrome to a child that we thought we might lose. So I think our love for her and our acceptance of her and our want for her to have a whatever life we could offer her, albeit with a lot of support, that's all we cared about. We just wanted to get a baby and get her home from hospital. So her start was not a typical start, but anybody who's listening who has a child with a disability has been there, and they know that they are strange days. But I can 100% and confidently say that we wouldn't change a hair on her head. We might change her stubborn nature sometimes, but from very, very early, we fell deeply in love with her. And she was just this beautiful addition to our family and remains so to this day. Of our three teenagers, she's probably the easiest.
Okay. Has she had other health issues? Because the reason I say that is I think it does happen, doesn't it, with children with Down syndrome, that they can be prone to developing other conditions as well. I mean, there's degrees, aren't there?
Well, I suppose, you know, Down syndrome is an additional gene on the 21st chromosome, on your gene. So it's in every gene in your body. It's throughout your DNA. So varying children and young adults and adults with Down syndrome have different, it manifests in different ways. So April would wear glasses. She would have a moderate hearing loss in one ear. She is smaller than her typically developing friends. She would struggle with learning. She would struggle with her writing wouldn't be what other children's writing might be. You adapt your life to that. And I mean, actually, she's growing up in a world where she uses an iPad and she uses her phone. You can't ever get the phone out of her hand. She pays for stuff with her Revolut card. She manages a Leap card when she gets on the bus. She's incredibly crafty. And I talk about her. I spent a lot of time with her friends as well. As a group, they would all be on differing levels. And there can be some young adults and some children with Down syndrome who have autism or who have other kind of complex needs. But by and large, they are as individual, I suppose, as any of our typically developing children. Some have other little bits and pieces that come along with it. But, you know, the health outcomes for people with Down syndrome, although I'm not a doctor, are getting much, much better all the time. And the basics that we apply to our typically developing children apply here. Good nutrition, health, exercise, proper sleep, routine, all of those things. And really, and what we do, I suppose, as well at Together Academy, and as we do as parents, is changing the expectations of these children, you know, making sure that they have busy and active lives. But, you know, I don't think April missed a day at school last year due to illness. So she's a very well person. And her buddies would typically all be very, very well as well.
And we're going to get to the Together Academy and that will be the bulk of what we talk about.
Yeah.
But how did you find getting her into the education system? How good has the education system been for her and for the other cases that you come across with children with Down syndrome?
Well, I mean, I've learned you do not speak as a parent group for parents. But in our situation, April went to mainstream school with her typically developing brothers, a local school in Blackrock. They were phenomenal. They were just amazing. And she still would have a lot of connection with the girls and boys who were in her class. I would think that the Irish education system, in our experience, has been incredibly inclusive. April was involved in everything in her mainstream school. And I think that the children she grew up with will go on to become employers and workers who will expect to see people with disabilities in their workforce because of what they experienced at junior school. I mean, when I went to junior school, there was nobody, Moria, with a disability. As we know now, there were children who were struggling with dyslexia or struggling with other learning needs, but they weren't seen and nurtured and cherished and championed. April had SNA. She had on-site school supports. It went very well. We reached a point after COVID where her brothers were going off into a fancy secondary school, and we felt that she has a lot of challenges with speech, and we felt that she wouldn't really manage a mainstream environment for secondary school. Now, we were exceptionally lucky. We have a local school, St. Augustine's in Blackrock. We applied there. April got a place. And she is with 160 other children, up to 18, sorry, from kind of 8 to 18 year old people who also have disabilities. And I mean, I think she is getting the best education.
And is she happy there?
Phenomenal. She's doing vocational work. She's doing travel training. She has music. She has drama. I think one of the gifts that you get when you have a child with a disability is they don't have to be in the rat race. They don't have to be doing the CAO points for Leaving Cert. Yes, we want April to have the opportunities her brother has, but she doesn't have some of the demands that would be made on her siblings. So she's in a school that sees that and that really nurtures what she needs and what she enjoys and what she values. So thankfully, in both scenarios, in our mainstream scenario and in the special ed scenario, which I think she is thriving in, she's extremely happy and she has great friends. And that, for me, is probably the most important thing I want her to get out of secondary school.
You mentioned from the ages of 8 to 18, and I think this is relevant to the Together Academy. And this happens so much, I think, isn't it, with teenagers with disabilities. You hit the age of 18, you reach adulthood, and suddenly, what happens then? Where are the supports?
That is 100% it, Matt. I mean, that is, I suppose, the origin story of Together Academy. We were bringing April up to a wonderful organisation called the Down Syndrome Centre when she was a child for speech therapy, occupational therapy, training for getting ready for school. And then she was trucking along with her brothers, having almost a normal, if you want to call it, life, albeit with supports. And I was away at a conference on Down syndrome and heard that, you know, 90% of adults with Down syndrome were not in paid employment. And I was going, how is it that we're giving her all these supports, giving her a life where we're creating expectations from her? And it seems that as adults, just when your opportunities in life should be becoming more open to you, for people with disabilities, they seem to narrow. And that became something that started to keep me awake at night. And you're right, because at 18, April will go into a day service. As it happens, there's a very good, robust day services around us, and that is amazing. However, they are not work and employment is not at the core of their remit. It's providing a day service, and it's not really what we want for these young adults forever. Like we feel.
Do those services almost for people who are dependent, rather than allowing them to be more independent?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure the services are changing, you know, as times change, and there's a lot of good work going on in them. But there was nothing that I could see out there that was just targeted at giving skills for training for work and supporting the work. And I suppose that's what became something that I was very, very interested in. She is entitled to a day service, and that is amazing. And we would like her to be part of a day service for so many social and other reasons. But we couldn't see something that was really, really pushing the employment agenda. And I suppose we were kind of telling her she was the same as the others, and yet that opportunity didn't seem to be presenting. So I suppose, you know, as a parent and I'm with a child, you're trying to not always project forward. And for many years we didn't. But when we started to look to the future, we were wondering, what really can we do to kind of change the direction of what can be done for these young adults?
So tell us about Together Academy.
Well, Together Academy was not just founded by me in first instance. There were four moms deeply involved at the very start of it. I was the one who was kind of going, oh, we have to do something. And I came across, very luckily, a wonderful woman, and she is a philanthropist, and she supported us, and she had a connection with Down syndrome. And she said to me, Trace, you know, whatever you're doing at the moment, I'll happily give you a salary for 2 years, part-time salary it was, for 2 years to go and look internationally and look locally and see what's happening. What is the best case scenario? And we decided that we would do it under the governance of and with the support of the Down Syndrome Centre, because they now have a group of young children growing up who will be ready for the workforce in the future. So that was, I had a lovely kind of backing of support of some salary, and then the governance of the Down Syndrome Centre and tax clearance certificates and a board and people who I could be answerable into. And I wrote to Social Entrepreneurs Ireland, who are an amazing, amazing organisation for social entrepreneurs getting started on their journey. And one of the key lessons that they told me to take away was that I would need much, much more robust support. And I had a skills deficit in a lot of different areas. So I targeted, I suppose, 7 or 8 people who have children with Down syndrome and who had different skill sets, namely, you know, marketing, grant writing, legal, hospitality, finance. And I asked them to sit in a steering committee with me for 2 years while we tried to curate what the future could look like for young adults. Out of that, there was 9 people on that steering committee, and 3 of them went on to become paid employees. And I referred to it earlier. When a child with a disability is born, it has a really, really large effect on the family, but very often on the mother. And through that steering committee, I met women who were very, very high wattage, high ability. One, a partner in Accenture. Another had a very big career in marketing and branding with Irish Distillers. Another lady leading employment programs down in Wicklow. The whole group really helped us with what we were doing, but these women kind of became more than volunteers and ultimately became paid employees, and I would call them now my co-founders. So we have a very strong, highly driven kind of team of mothers. And what we identified was that the young adults were coming out of school at 18. They were not getting externally certified training, and those opportunities weren't there for them. And the other thing is, if you're doing externally kind of certified training, our young adults very much learn by doing. They learn by repetition. So I always knew, at the time it was before COVID, and every coffee shop in the country had a sign up saying that there was jobs. So I knew that in Dublin, for an urban project, this would be a great, and I want an inclusion and being seen was really important to me, that our young adults would be seen in the community. So we went around the houses to a lot of different places, but we ended up with the Education Training Board, and the training board said they would fund us for a 2-year course in hospitality and culinary skills. And I knew that if we could do that, that it wasn't going to be sufficient to have the classroom-based learning. We needed a coffee shop or a work environment that where the guys could learn their trade, make their mistakes. And that what I really wanted was, I suppose, a community setting, nothing too high street, which would be too overwhelming, but nothing hived off in an industrial estate. So a lot of different dynamics. Anyway, we ended up at the door of Wanderers Rugby Club, came and approached the Down Syndrome Centre to say that they were interested in doing a project with people with disabilities. And there was nothing immediately apparent that could be done, sports or something like that. They were thinking a tag rugby team or something. And I got wind of it, and I went and I met John Fitzpatrick from Wanderers, and presented to the board of Wanderers that we would love to take a billiards room that they had downstairs, which still had a billiards table in and still had the no smoking sign up and had been used effectively as a kit room for 30 years, that I would love to take that room, revamp it into a classroom, and then take their kind of hino bar upstairs, which gets great use at the weekend, but was really vacant Monday to Friday, and could we put a pop-up cafe in there? So supported by the steering group and by the other mums, we kind of built a vision of what it could be and met with the board, and they overwhelmingly endorsed us and supported us. And to date, they've never charged us a cent, and we now have got a bustling, busy community cafe.
Yeah, because how busy is it? Because if I remember rightly, it's on Merrion Road in Dublin 4.
Yes.
But you have to go down a laneway.
Yes.
Off the main road.
Yes.
And if you don't know that the clubhouse is there, you won't see it from the road.
100%. And we have people coming in there now on a weekly basis who are from the community, who have lived in the area for 20 or 30 years and have never been on site there. And it is continually and always a challenge for us to get people in. I was there this morning and we had some lovely tables in, and we have great local support in the community, but it isn't on people's... People don't pass it. You have to go off pitch to get into it. So what we've learned from that. We have to create traded income there. We do diversity and inclusion workshops. We have corporates who come out and take over our classroom and do maybe a strategy meeting, and then we'll come up into the cafe and have lunch. We have developed a corporate catering business out of there. It's pretty much maxed out. We can't do an awful lot more because it's a very small kitchen. But we're always looking for creative ways to generate income in there and create traded income. Yeah.
And then how many teenagers and young adults do you have in there?
So we started in 2021 with 16 young adults, a group of 8 Monday, Tuesday, and a group of 8 Wednesday, Thursday. They have now progressed through the classroom and the ETB course, and they've progressed through their cafe training. And they are now in independent employment in the community. And I can go on and tell you a little bit more about those jobs in a few minutes. We took in our second group of 16 in January 2023. So that's 32 students we've kind of put through the course. They're into their second year now and just getting ready to go up to work in the cafe. And we have a phenomenal teaching staff, and they will only bring our guys up to the cafe when they are ready. There's a lot of work that needs to be done with a group that have never had the expectation of work, from CV building to life skills to how to show up for work, how to present for work, in addition to their ETB trained courses. So that's the 32. But we also last year then had a lot of people get in touch, say they wanted a job, but we didn't have a course for them. So we did an accelerator into work programme. So we brought people straight into the cafe. But in our kind of, well, we've had a lot of exciting news at Together Academy, but last September, just in September, we also opened our second college site, and that's in Merrion Square, in the heart of corporate Dublin, in 28 Fitzwilliam, in SMBC Aviation Capital. And that has been, you know, an absolute game changer for us, because we now have this wonderful community model in Wanderers, which I think is a model that could be scaled and could be replicated, because there are so many clubs around the country that have wind whistling through them Monday to Friday, and why couldn't they be repurposed at tiny cost into a community cafe and college? But I suppose we have another, I suppose, way of engaging with our young adults and engaging with community now, in that we are in the heart of corporate Dublin. And we've put our first group of 12 through a 3-month course there, which commenced last September. That's a course that is funded through Pubble. It's our vocational training course, and we're bringing in those guys have now gone into work experience, both within SMBC and within the ancillary businesses that work in there, and in the community around Dublin too, some of whom are very near here. And we are bringing our second group of 12 in there in March.
Where do you find the teachers?
We advertise. Yeah.
Are there people there who are good for doing this?
Oh,
is it
amazing.
Easy to find?
Amazing. Yeah. We have got the most driven staff team, and they have such high expectations of our young adults, but they also put huge support into them. And, you know, in our class of 8 in Wanderers, or in our class in SMBC of 7, we have 2 teachers on site all day, but we also, at our own cost through fundraise money, fund SNAs, supports. Well, not SNAs, but teaching supports.
Yeah.
Because our philosophy is that if you want to have a job, that we will work with you. So that means we have some very, very high functioning young adults with Down syndrome who need very little support. But we also have some young adults who have much more complex needs and who do need a lot more support. But, you know, if they want to show up and if they can get into town or get to Wanderers and turn up and have the right attitude, we put the right supports around them. So it does make it quite an expensive model. But we see the value of some of our young adults that, you know, they are the young adults who really we're not going to get the opportunities, and to add so much. And if we can go into a business and we can job carve with that business, it might suit one young adult to be working front of house, flying away. And I can tell you about our Happy Out model, which is amazing out of the Baths. Absolutely, there's great opportunities there. But there has always been a lack of opportunities in any part of life for the guys who need even more support, be it your typically developing children or your children with Down syndrome. And for us, we are very firmly of the view that if these young adults, they deserve to be seen, they deserve to have their purpose in their day, have meaning and get the right supports. So we're working with businesses now who craft what they might think is not a very meaningful job, but we help decide if that's a meaningful job.
Which is an interesting point. How many graduates actually do have employment now?
So, well, the one thing we have learned is when we talk about graduates or our alumni, we kind of thought at the start, wouldn't it be lovely to get a group of young adults in, get them trained, get them work experience, get them into jobs, and then they'll be fine. And that's not the case. They don't leave us at all, really. They don't want to go. They've created great friendships. They've got great teams of support. We now have psychologists on our team. We have an occupational therapist. We have pathways to employment support. So when I say we've created jobs, we have about 38 jobs, but no true graduates, because we offer in town, in our college in town, every Wednesday is our continuous professional development course. So a lot of our young adults who are out in the community, there might be an issue with timekeeping or an issue with presentation for work, or they might need further barista skills. So people come back in, but actually they just want to come back in and see each other. And I suppose...
So it's a community.
It's a community. And if you think about it, anybody who has a job has a HR department behind them. They have continuous professional development behind them. How did we ever think we were going to bring these guys in and just graduate them? That just doesn't happen. We've got a gorgeous invitation last week, and it's the second year in a row, and it's worth mentioning because so many small businesses are so good to us. But it's Rassam out in Glasthool. Last year just got in touch with me and said, bring your students in. We'd love to have them for dinner free of charge. We want to celebrate them and the work that you're doing.
This is the Indian restaurant.
Yes.
There. Okay.
Yeah. So tomorrow night, Wednesday evening, we put the call out last week to our 52 young adults we have working with us, saying we have 30 places, which is what Nasitha told us we had, for next Wednesday evening, dinner in Rassam. Come out, enjoy it, a couple of hours. We'll all be together. I have to ring Nasith after this to say we have to up our numbers. You know, our guys love the connection that they have got. And if people think a little bit, and I do say this a lot, you know, we all know what it's like. During COVID, we all were having busy, full-on lives, and we had to go home and shut our doors and do nothing for the bones of 2 years. Then we all got to come out, and some of us didn't even want to come out, but, you know, they got to like the work from home hybrid model. But our young adults, we did learn during that time what it was like to have a meaningless day, to have no purpose, to have no structure, to not have to be anywhere, to not be allowed to be anywhere. So I think it's a really good time to give that call to action. If that wasn't good enough for all of us, how did we ever think it was good enough for our young adults to just not have purpose and busyness and schedules? And it's also just, I'm jumping around a little bit, but something we focus really strongly on as well is the independence around the job. And a huge shout out at the other end of the spectrum from a small Indian restaurant, but to Dublin Bus, because they do independent travel training. It is free of charge. It is available to anybody who needs it. And we have partnered with them. So many of our young adults would be in the first few days getting dropped to Wanderers or getting dropped into Merrion Square, into Fitzwilliam 28. We talk to Dublin Bus and we see how can we get so-and-so from Raheny to the city centre or from Bray to the city centre. And Dublin Bus have a team who will go and do that travel training and will then over time step back and watch that being supported. So I could arrive to Wanderers in the morning and I might see, I might be going into Together Academy Cafe and I might see somebody in a bush and I'm going, who is this fella now? And I'll go and look and they'll flash their badge. And what they're doing now is they're showing me we were giving high support at the start. And now we're just observing Matt as he comes to college and we're going to observe him going home. And the effect of that is that families who have been picking up and dropping off their young adults throughout their lives are seeing them gain that independence, safely get in and out to work. So if we're creating a 6-hour college day or a 3-hour shift at work, if that young adult is travelling independently, you're stretching that out by 2 hours on either end. And it is just remarkable. So the job is the purpose, it's the work, it's the employment, it's the money, but it's the social connection and the independence. It's a much wider effect creating work for young adults.
I love that Dublin Bus story that they do that. And it just strikes me, and this maybe is a bit of an aside, but we're now seeing politically in America an enormous kickback against what is sneeringly a DEI, diversity, equality, inclusion. And that just strikes me as the most wonderful example of making sure that everybody is catered for in our community, in our society.
Absolutely.
And it would be such a shame if we were, and I know it's easily derided as DEI is woke, but here's a practical example of why it is essential.
Look, like, it is just, I mean, actually, it really, really is so important. The businesses that we work with thought they were doing great at the start. 6 months, 12 months, 18 months into working with them, 100% of them come to us and say, this is so important for our staff. We thought we were starting off doing something good for Together Academy and for these young adults. They say that people behave differently in the workforce. The skills of empathy that their teams show is better. How different organisations, and they're big corporates in Dublin, have changed their work practices to accommodate our young adults and found that it worked for their own teams. Like, for example, a stationary room that now is colour-coded or has got, very strong cues for our young adults to find things to help them be independent. And they say, oh my God, everyone's now finding that stationary cabinet a bit easier. Like how they change a work meeting and everyone agrees to come in and they found that socially it's worked for them as a team, that they're more cohesive as a team. You know, you come into our cafes and you see people behave themselves differently. They comport themselves differently. They understand that our young adults might need a little bit more time or may make a mistake. And that becomes something that they cherish and that they see the value of. You know, disability has not been fully cracked on the D&I agenda yet. But when you offer corporates the right supports, the right train staff to help them, listen to what they need and work with them, it is such a win for both the young adults of Together Academy, but hugely for the business. And just interestingly, when we went into SMBC, because they've got about 300 staff on site, we have done a very strong baseline study with their staff. Have you worked with somebody with a disability before? Have you come across disability? What does it mean to you to have upwards of 30 young adults with Down syndrome in your building, eating lunch with you every day, welcoming you to work in the morning? And we are going to track that over the next 3 years. And I think we're going to be able to produce a very interesting piece of work about not what it does for Together Academy to be in the heart of Dublin, but what it does for people in corporate Dublin who don't necessarily have to think about disability that often, to be interacting with our young adults and seeing them and learning more about them. I think it's inclusion, I think, at its most finest. So we'll see how it goes with all the challenges.
And tell us about Happy Out, which I would always say, that's a great Cork expression, actually, that you've...
It's very much from a Sandy Mount boy. It's Brian Hanratty. I don't think it's an ounce of Cork from Brian, but I must ask him. That's a really interesting story. We hadn't even opened up the cafe in Wanderers, and I was doing up that kit room. We brought in the paints ourselves. We did it up for less than $2,000. And Brian Hanratty arrived in and he said to me, I'm a member here at Wanderers. I love what you're thinking of doing. I've heard what you're thinking of doing. I'm going to bring down lunch for everyone from the Happy Out in Donnybrook. So he brought down lunch for us and we were painting and fixing stuff and washing stuff and moving furniture. And we developed a friendship. And he said to me after a while, like, Trace, what do you know about opening a coffee shop? And I was like, oh, for God's sake, Brian, what do I need to know about opening a coffee shop? Anyway, little did I know. So he said, to your point earlier, he said, you're off pitch here. It's going to be hard to get customers in. People will come once because they'll be curious. They'll only come back if your food and your coffee is really, really good. So I already had my chef, great girl at the time called Ali Goa, who's sadly gone to Australia now. But we have another great chef now, Carlene. Anyway, Brian pushed me at the time, and really, really, it was one of the biggest spending decisions we made, to get a really fancy coffee machine and then to use the coffee he used in Happy Out, because he really trusted it. But in return, so I fundraised that, and in return he invited our young adults out to Happy Out, and he invited our staff out to Happy Out, and he did training with us around barista. So we developed a friendship. So, and anytime there's something wrong with the coffee machine, I'd ring him, and although he was running another busy coffee shop, he'd come and help. So we had our first group of students coming up to graduation, and we didn't really have a home for a lot of them. And we were saying we'd love to do a coffee shop. And next thing, Edel, who's one of the moms, again, the lady I spoke earlier about, the ex-partner in Accenture, and who's so bright and so helpful and does our grants, was always on the mooch and looking out for, you know, money and opportunities. And she called me and she said, you're not going to believe it. The baths in Dunleary, there is a tender document out in Dublin, Dunleary right down County Council. So I said, oh God, amazing. So we looked it up, and within about 30 seconds, we realised we didn't meet the criteria for it. We just couldn't apply. So with that, I picked up the phone to Brian Hanratty, and I said, Brian, there is the opportunity for a new coffee shop out in Dunleary. There's a tender document up on their website at the moment. Would you be interested in a joint venture together? And he jumped at the chance. And we had been working, William Fry at the time was doing, and still are rather, doing our legals pro bono. And I rang them and I said, how are we going to work as a kind of a charity and social enterprise with a for-profit business? And we came up with the way that this could work. We did the application to Dunleary Rathdown County Council. It was a highly competitive process. And we went and I read cover to cover their strategy for inclusion before I met with them. And myself and Brian said to them that, you know, we had a proven cafe in Donnybrook and down in Bull Island, but that Dunleary Rathdown, if they wanted to put their money, or, you know, really live what they said they would do in their strategy, which was about inclusive communities, that we would, you know, would like to take that building and to run a cafe for the community with young adults with Down syndrome, being paid the exact same as their typically developing colleagues, on barista, on the till, on the floor. And we won the process. So we opened there in July 2023. And last year at the Restaurant Association of Ireland Awards, we won Cafe Shop of the Year. So it was amazing. Amazing. And, in you know, Brian doesn't like when I say this, but we have a lot of support out there. You're right. It is the Wanderers model. That's where the working and the learning is done. And we decide then who in Wanderers is ready to go out to Happy Out. So we have 14 young adults out there in paid employment now, working over 100 hours per week. And something we need to really take to government is that Brian does not get any sort of government grant for that. Whereas if he had five young adults out there working 15 hours a week, he would. You know, it's because, but our young adults work between maybe 6, 8, 10 hours a week. They don't meet the threshold for getting, for the employer getting a grant. So that's something that's on the agenda for this year, Matt.
Is this all getting much bigger than you'd ever anticipated?
Much bigger.
How are you managing to cope with that?
It's very daunting. We have a good team, but when a project is going well and when the work we're doing is being perceived and actually is so good, there's a lot of opportunities coming at us. We've just, last September, we did our three-year strategy. That's actually been really, really helpful because it means that I'm learning now what to say no to. I would have been very kind of, at the start, when you're starting something, you're so chuffed that people see you and see what you want to do and see the value of what you want to do that you say yes to everything. Now we're saying no to a lot of opportunities. And we're very serious about our work. We've great crack. I'm making it all sound very earnest. Our young adults are brilliant fun, but they are vulnerable and they are very, very precious. So we have to be very, very, very careful with who we work with. You know, their parents are setting them into a new way of being an adult with Down syndrome, and they're trusting us to look after them and to make sure that they're well cared for. And I suppose that's where it's sometimes hard to juggle between being the CEO of a business and then marrying it with being a parent and having that kind of very nurturing kind of feeling about our young adults. But I think the balance of that works very, very well because you're right. There's a lot of opportunities coming at us and we need to be very, very careful that we go with the right ones and with the people who engage with us are really doing it for the right reasons.
Other than being unable to say no at times, what mistakes have you made that you've learned from?
Oh God, I got asked this last week at a big funding request and I didn't have a good answer then. I think we didn't appreciate actually how long term the commitment would be to the young adults. I'm not sure we would have done it. I'm not sure I could have known I could take it all on if I'd known how ongoing the support would be. But we kind of own that now. So, but that will put a limit on how big we can get because it's a very high touch kind of business. Like my young adults need to see me and the team. Their families need to know we're engaged. The businesses we work with want us to be involved. So probably I was quite naive at the start. And the other one, and this is a truthful, this is more of a personal one, is I think when I was starting out, I wanted everybody involved. So everyone had to have a say. And you need everybody working together to make a project happen. But as we've grown, we now have 15 employees. You have to at some stage become a boss. And so everybody in the cafe and everybody in the classroom and everyone in the Pathways team can't have the same say as they had at the start. So the very people who really got up and worked so hard for us at the start mightn't be involved in the management decisions now. And I think so, it isn't so much a mistake is that, you know, I didn't have a background in business. I didn't have a background in management. So I have very much learned that on the job. And thankfully, I haven't fallen out with any of the staff along the way, but I've probably had to change the way I run the business. So while it's not a mistake, it's something that has, I have found hard and that has taken a lot out of me at different times. But we're doing okay.
I would like to ask you about one of your colleagues who started up with you, who sadly became ill and died.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That is the, it's so weird and so unique to be part of a business and a project and this wonderful work that has just had nothing but highs for the last 3 years. And we've been on the crest of the wave. And in the middle of it all, there was this just, I don't even have language for how horrific it was to have one of the founding mums, that was Kathy, the lady from Employability, one of my closest friends. She also has Alex, her beautiful son, who has Down syndrome. He's in school with April. And 3 years ago, we discovered that she had motor neuron disease. And it was just after we had done the haka against the All Blacks with our young adults, where we'd had 9 million hits on TikTok.
Yeah, and that video went up.
Transformational time for us. We were on such a high. And I think that was
sorry,
the
that's
problem.
The, when the players went to visit the cafe,
yes,
was it down
yes,
Wanderers?
Yes, yes, yes. And we did the haka against them. Yeah. And Ireland won the next day. So
tell us a little bit more about Cathy.
Oh, so Cathy was the first person who came on as an employee of Together Academy after me. My husband always says one of the first conversations he had with her, she said, "I just love people with Down syndrome." No one had ever said that before. And that was the heart of who she was. Somebody with huge humour, huge bravery, massive expectation, a beautiful husband and three gorgeous daughters, two gorgeous daughters after Alex, her son. And
so you just asked, what's her surname?
Cathy Smith. Cathy Smith. And Cathy just, you know, we forgot how sick she was, even though it was so evident she was getting so unwell with such a horrible disease in front of our eyes. Even when Cathy didn't have the power of speech and walking, I would come away from her some days and I would forget how sick she was. So it still came as a huge shock when she died in July last year. She was so brave. She was across her work, and it was until the day she died. And that was the so hard thing about motor neuron disease, is she was so cognitively perfect. She had such high expectations of our young adults. She didn't say no. She didn't see no. But at the age of 45, she lost her battle to motor neuron disease. She never, she apart from the last few days in the hospice in Blackrock, she adapted her home. She did a bucket list after her diagnosis. She went to Thailand. She bought a car with an eye-watering figure because she wanted to just have a nice car. Ken got that now. She did her house up so beautifully when she was so unwell, so that when we came in, we never saw the hoist. We never saw the disability shower. She was still buying the most beautiful clothes online up until she died. She just had this incredible energy, and she was so loved by our students, so loved by the staff. And our staff and our project, while we were all going through such a hard time and so upset for her, we gave her such a different focus, and we kept her, I think, away from her own thoughts a lot of the time. And I'm so proud of that. And she was, you know, an only child to Paul and Mary Shovlin, who are two of our favourite people. And Paul and Mary were with us, with Ken, her husband, last Friday in Fitzwilliam Tennis Club at our first ever fundraiser for Together Academy, our first big public fundraiser, where we raised €71,000. And Mary and Paul sat at the table with us, and they remain deep, deep supporters of us and of our work. And they come into our cafes now, and Alex and Saffron and Zara, the children, come in, and it's like a second home for them. So while we could do nothing about her illness, and we miss her so terribly, and she still is a huge part of our decision making. I mean, one of the things we do at Together Academy is we run every decision through the lens of, is this good enough for our typically developing children? So if it's the type of coffee we're going to use, if it's the type of event we're going to run, if it's the type of business we're going to work with, is it good enough for the typically developing children in this family? And that would be very much Cathy's ethos. She wanted Alex to be in the cool clothes, to have the right opportunities, and she just, she was just so incredibly special. We miss her terribly, but I really feel so proud of our staff, our young adults, and the community that were around us through that time, how much support and love we gave her. And I think she leaves a huge legacy, and I just feel so happy for her that she was part of it when we had her. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier you don't come from a management background, but no. You were a social worker, weren't you, for a while?
Well, no, I worked in social care. I started off at a little job in Peor, and then I worked for years actually in residential care with girls who were living out of home. Absolutely loved that work. I really, really enjoyed it. And then I went to work with Mental Health Ireland, and then I finished up working with, I set up a homeless, or excuse me, not a homeless, a home care company on the south side of Dublin with girlfriends from Howth. I grew up in Howth, so it was a team from there. So I always, I suppose, had, my work always had a social mission. And I suppose a lot of the skills that I acquired along the way have gone into Together Academy. Yeah, that was my background.
You're going to be doing this for a long time, aren't you? I mean, this is going to be a mission that's going to take you on the journey for many years.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would like to think, you know, we do a lot of work with, we have a diversity and inclusion staff member now, Kate, and she has a background in drama and she's absolutely brilliant. And she and the team now are very much about amplifying the voices of our young adults. Now, they may not come in and do, you know, an hour long interview here, but they would speak at our, you know, at events we go to now. And I would like to, I'm very comfortable to go out and advocate for our project and our work and our young adults, and to say that, you know, it is the time in Ireland for these young adults to take their place in society and to have jobs and be seen and be supported, and make the argument for that and try and bring in the funding to make that happen. But I would like over the next couple of years to have a lot more voice given to our students, and some of them are incredibly articulate and can go out there and advocate for themselves. There's only so much that myself and the team can do, and it is a really important thing that, you know, it's a fine line between going out and advocating for them and then speaking for them. They can speak for themselves, and even some young adults we work with who may not be verbal, but if they're working in businesses, they're advocating for themselves and they are changing perceptions around themselves. So, yes, I think we have a lot of work still to do, but I'm hoping to share it with the wider team of our staff and our young adults over time. Yeah.
Therese Coveney, thank you for joining us on Magnified.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much.
And our thanks to our series partners Close Brothers Motor Finance for the support on today's edition of Magnified. Rated excellent on Trustpilot for customer service and portal Close Connect means that we can say yes more often, approve finance applications in minutes and sometimes seconds. So if you're looking to partner with us, reach out to the Motor Finance people at Close Motor Finance. That's it for today's Magnified. There are plenty of others in the series that you can go back and listen to if you've missed them. And there are many, many more to come. We hope you'll join us.
Magnified with Mac Cooper. Proudly sponsored by Close Brothers Motor Finance. With Close Connect, our technology means we can say yes more often. Approve finance applications in minutes and sometimes seconds. Partner with Close Brothers Motor Finance at closemotorfinance.ie.
Go loud. Sounds better with us.